fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories, but it's not just any Friday. It's Halloween Friday!
Halloween! Happy Halloween to everyone that celebrates, and I hope wherever you are, it's a good one for you.
I hope you're getting your bag full of all the candy you want, or if you're giving out candy, that you get to see the coolest and best costumes with no, that if there are teenagers, that they're well-behaved and sweet and not candy bandits or anything like that. That's run off with entire bowls candids? From porches. Candids. Shut them down, people. No candids.
Don't think I don't have a plan for this Halloween.
If the bandit returns, you're like, the bandit is back.
I have a plan. I have a plan.
Because you had, was it on Halloween
Honestly,
night?
What I need is a giant animatronic to put on my front porch. And then what I was going to do is watch on the Ring camera. And if a teen approaches and looks like they're about to grab it, I'm going to yell through the Ring camera microphone as if I were the animatronic and yell something scary at him. Scary slash, you know, traumatizing.
It's true.
To get him to leave.
Isn't it wild how in the blink of an eye we go from being the teens to saying things like the teens?
The teens.
The teens
I never stole candy as a teen.
Oh, I didn't either.
Or smashed pumpkins. I didn't do any rude, mean things like that.
No, I did steal the gnome that I still have in my current garden, but he was neglected. And so I thought, to me, it was a noble theft, but I would not go and like steal candy from somebody. That seems wrong. Like I was more of a mischievous, hit the construction barrels with my old Oldsmobile kind of mischievous kid. I don't, you know, I'm like, I'm just bouncing off these barrels. I'm not hurting anybody.
Just taking people's gnomes that, you know, could have been a family heirloom. But
to this day,
now in my backyard.
Just want you to know he's been well loved these past 20 odd years.
Some child somewhere talks about that every year.
I mean, just
this
like
the year, this is the month that Nomi went missing.
Remember when they stole Nomi? When those, that's just like the guy that stole the Mickey Mouse from my porch as a kid. But hope your Halloweens are all free of bandits or anybody thieving any Halloween decorations. And we've got a lineup of stories that are scary in various ways. Traditional Halloween horror, this year type of Halloween horror, and this first one is a real life horror for sure.
Well, and how timely it is.
Indeed. Thanks, Corinne.
We leave in just 2 days to go on a cruise, but... Mm-hmm. You know, Corinne is going to be there too. So we'll get to say, hey, thanks for sending this in person. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Content warning, this story contains discussions of exorcide and suicide. Like I said, this first one is from Corinne and is called True Crime on a Cruise Ship. Hey, Heather and Christy, love you. Love the pod. You know the drill. You might remember me from when the SWAT team was called to my high school over a Kermit the Frog doll. Given our upcoming cruise adventure, I'll be there in multiple discussions of true crime at sea. I thought you might be interested in my experience. In 2017, I found myself on a family cruise to Alaska for my grandma's 80th birthday. Since this was not a boat full of rum in the Caribbean, I expected this to be a pretty chill trip. Unfortunately, this was not the case. A few nights into the cruise, en route to Juneau, an unusual announcement came over the intercom. The clearly flustered speaker repeatedly called for security and medical personnel, switching locations a few times. It was so abnormal sounding, I had to investigate. I went to the hallway mentioned, where I found a crowd of confused passengers and a sobbing child with her probably grandmother on the stairs. It was unclear what was happening, and I didn't want to be a complete looky-loo, so I took a lap and found something else to do. A bit later, I swung by the hall again and saw a man sitting by the elevators, wearing what appeared to be blood-splattered jeans, filling out paperwork with a staff member. The next morning, we learned that due to a, quote, on-ship emergency, the ship was diverting directly to Juno rather than the scheduled scenic cruise. Long story short, the FBI had to come aboard to investigate a murder. Christy and Kenneth Manzanares were on a family vacation, but got into an argument that escalated to her asking him for a divorce. Luckily, he asked their daughters to leave the room before things turned physical, and then fatal for Christy. Some reports said that when the medical and security staff entered the room, it appeared her husband was attempting to move her to the balcony, possibly to dispose of evidence. Docked in Alaska, we spent several hours stuck on the boat while the investigation began. We were technically in USA waters, but not Alaska waters, so the FBI had to be called in to investigate. This might have been a dream scenario for the FBI since suspects and witnesses were literally trapped on a boat. After it was all said and done, Kenneth was detained and later sentenced to 30 years for second-degree murder. He did plead guilty, but I've seen in some reports that his attorneys claimed a testosterone supplement he was taking added to the snap in his temper. He died by suicide in jail a few years later. Tragically, the crying child I saw on the stairs was probably one of the daughters traveling with them. Christy's extended family was also traveling with them. And I've always been reluctant to share this story so publicly because I can't imagine the horror if my own family vacation had suddenly turned that sour. Weird fun fact for some levity, maybe? When the overheard announcement started, there was actually a murder mystery dinner in progress, and the guests there thought the announcements were clues to solving it. Oops. I'll be at Crime Wave with you, and let's all be kind and definitely avoid anything like this. The company did give us a credit for the inconvenience, but still not worth it for those poor daughters or the world's worst family vacation. Stay cool and for goodness sake, keep any dicey supplements at home when cruising. See you all there. Well, I certainly hope this is not the cruise that we have.
It's like you talked about in the other, I don't recall if it was in Freaky Friday, but when you were talking about that woman who passed away at the Haunted Mansion and how, you know, when it is a gathering of a lot of people all together and a tragedy happens, and this one, you know, a heart attack or a heart incident, that's something unexpected, but especially when it is a purposeful homicide and there's family involved, just all of that,
the whole family
grappling with all of that, but then you're also surrounded by all these people who are doing the shuffle and whatever, and this murder mystery dinner going on at the same time. It's something that I think, it's normally a tragedy is already pretty bad, but then having it juxtaposed with just like euphoria around you and everyone's, you know, getting off the ship, that has got to be so heart-wrenching. And especially too, if people are not sure why you're getting diverted, then people are like, why are we getting diverted? We were supposed to see seals. And you're like, cool it, Janet. We're going, right. You know, the FBI needs to board something fucking hard. And, you know, it's, of course, nobody knows, but I'm so sorry you had this experience.
I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry for those kids. I vaguely remember hearing about this. Unfortunately, if you just Google like husbands that have killed their wives on cruises, there's a lot that come up. So
it is unfortunate.
There's some linked stories here that were provided. They were from Utah. Mm-hmm. Man, it's just the mind reels that if somebody hadn't been called in to see what was going on, if her body would have been found.
Yeah. And luckily they did walk in at the right time. So despite the fact that you can't bring her back, but at least the family has answers and he can't say, oh, I don't know what happened. But I'm at least there was family members on board to help, you know, care for the girls. And I hope that they have found as much healing as you can after something like that. That is an all time nightmare.
Yeah. You lose your mom and then, I mean, you lose your dad to prison and then you lose him to suicide. So both their parents lost in horribly tragic ways. And man, sometimes life just isn't fair. Some people get dealt just a really, really hard hand. And that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. And I hope those girls are having a good day somewhere.
Right. It's like, I hope you, for all the horrible things in your life, you've gotten concomitant, like the inverse of joy later on or something, you know, to help make up for it. But you never really can. Sinister Hood will be right back. Cooler days call for layers that last, and Quince is our go-to for quality essentials that feel cozy, look refined, and won't blow your budget.
We're talking $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters, denim that fits like it was made for you, and outerwear that looks and feels designer, but at a fraction of the price. Their wool coats are seriously stunning, and the quality rivals brands charge double or more.
Quince works directly with ethical, top-tier factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you get those elevated, long-lasting pieces without the markup. Everything they make feels intentional and well-made, like the kind of staples you'll wear on repeat. Smart, stylish, and totally worth it. And along those lines, I just ordered a washable stretch silk V-neck cami in deep orchid because I already have a gray Mongolian cashmere button-up from Quince, and I wanted to layer them with like the dark purple cami with the gray
those
over.
Those are great colors together.
I feel like I'm going to look so elevated. Normally, I'm wearing t-shirt and like, you know, just kind of dressed down, but like, I feel like with Quince, I don't have to go out of my way to look classier. It's like I look fancy and effortlessly
and still comfortable.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
usually I when you look sweater. Not you anyone looks fancy, you're like I itchy. Can't wait to get this off, but it's still so comfortable. I had been searching high and low for plum colored leggings because I wanted to wear it with my tinsel chambray button-down shirt.
Yes.
I also ordered another modal V-neck tee. You know that to. I love them. I have to. But the Ultraform high-rise crossover leggings in plum, such a good color, such good quality. They don't pill. Mm. They are like a good thickness. You know, sometimes leggings are so thin. You're like, I feel like I'm showing too much, but not with the Quince ones. They are well-made. They look nice. They can be dressed up or down and great color. Great fall color. I couldn't find this color anywhere else. So Quince, you were the one as always.
Done it again, Quince.
Find your fall staples at Quince. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. Well, this next one is from VB, and it's called Gut Feeling Ice Raid. Hello, I'm a Canadian stand-up comedian. Not a very good one. I definitely have to keep a day job. I keep hearing horror stories of Canadians getting detained by ICE or getting messed with at customs. 8 months ago, I bought tickets to my friend's wedding in Chicago. I figured since my friend was a cop down in Chicago, even a bootlicking border guard would probably leave me alone since I had an invitation and an agenda to a cop wedding. I would just want to steer clear of an ICE raid as a solo foreign female freelancer, and I figured Chicago would be safe enough. At the beginning of October, I saw some TikToks that made me decide I wasn't going on my Chicago trip. I used all my therapy skills to give up the sunk cost fallacy of my non-refundable plane tickets and told myself that I would rather lose $500 now than disappear forever. My right-wing friends told me I was being dramatic and pushed me to go. My left-wing friends were being overdramatic and I was tempted to go so I didn't have to live in online fear. Also, I am a very faithful friend and I am so sad to miss an old friend's wedding in a city I love. But ultimately, I made the hard choice that I wasn't going. Sure enough, it's Friday night tonight, and in another timeline, I'm sitting at my favorite place in the world, Chicago Laugh Factory. Not performing because I have no visa, but drinking the 2-drink minimum and cheering on my friends. But in this timeline, I'm sitting safely in my apartment at home in Canada, painting a canvas for my friend as an apology for missing his wedding and sending it in the mail. Sure enough, I opened my phone and saw an online video of a raid going on at the Laugh Factory in Chicago and the manager being slammed to the ground by 2 ICE officers, right at the exact time where I would have been there with my foreign ID and a big online presence detailing my comedy career, which is truly more of a comedy hobby, but easily a he said, she said for illegal work. I dodged a bullet. I know lots of Canadians are toying, not visiting their U.S. friends and family, especially with the holidays coming up. Maybe do a Zoom call this year. Stay strong to my U.S. homies and be careful to my Canadian travelers. Included a picture of my Expedia and the raid so you know I'm not making up, quote, chronically online horror stories. VB.
Well, while this is a chronically online horror story, it's also a real life horror story. I saw that video of the Nate, the manager from the Laugh Factory, getting slammed to the ground. I mean, we saw the WGN reporter. I mean, it's people, literal community members.
Yeah.
The guy that was coming back from a long run and was supposed to run in a marathon, and he was 66, and I slammed him on the ground and broke six of his ribs, and he couldn't run the Chicago Marathon he had trained for.
Oh, man.
Just shit like that. Where it's like, this guy's just managing a comedy club. But yeah. I think, VB, it's sad to say, but you made the right choice. That is easily could have been you.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to travel these days, especially if you are coming to the U.S. and you're not from here. Hey, it's hard to travel in the U.S. even if you are from here.
Right?
Arguably more so because of stuff like this, these roundups that are just happening more and more. So, you know, I like to always say, and I didn't make it up, surely see something, say something. But for real, like the more TikToks I see, and the more bystanders are filming and asking people, like, what's your name? Like, was it you that sent me that TikTok of those two teenage high schoolers that I believe are, they're in a suburb in Illinois, and they drive around to where ICE raids are happening and film them. And one of the boys was like, sometimes if we weren't there, like, no one would have known that person just got snatched off the street, or or no one would have known what their name is. And these are two white boys, well-to-do, live in a suburb.
Homeschooled. Yeah.
Homeschooled. And they have been raised by a mom who is like, when they said when ICE showed up, she was like, we got to do something about this. And when you're homeschooled, You're doing more stuff that's for the community and learning a lot more than if you were just going sitting in a classroom by going and driving around and documenting what's going on and, you know, being there for someone that doesn't look like you. If you, you know, if you're able to stand up and do these things, do them, because that is our responsibility as white people.
I mean, truly, right? The Supreme Court said if you look like maybe you could be from maybe South or Mexican, maybe you're from South America, the cops can just grab you. So given that there's no probable cause for your neighbors, you know, anytime somebody's like, white privilege isn't real. Well, now it really is. It's been codified, no, not codified, but, you know, sort of designated by the Supreme Court that if you don't look like you're from those places, maybe they don't have probable cause. They still will. You know, this Nate fellow, the guy that was the runner, did not, the woman from WGN, but and perhaps that's why some of those videos have gone even more viral, because it's like clear, you know, clearly citizens. But I agree with that. Like, at any point, it's what you would have done is what you're doing now. And I certainly am fine with the ICE knowing that I hate them, and I think that they are Gestapos and foot soldiers for the devil. They're like, we're going to use technology to, you know, track your, literally the ICE said they're going to start using this technology to track your social media posts and comments, and that if you don't like them or you say something against them, that, you know, they'll put you on this. I would like to say it is my First Amendment right to say every ICE agent can suck my dick. You know what I mean? That I think the ones that are criminals should all be put back in the jails from which they came, because like a good chunk of them all failed the criminal background check, but it had already been given, you know, weapons and the ability to go out on the street. They were all switching license plates in places. I mean, this is an illegal guerrilla police force that's out on the streets. I do not recognize their authority, because I think most of them should not have been deputized as officers given their backgrounds, and also given their disgusting lack of training. A good huge chunk of them couldn't pass the written exam, so they don't even know what the fuck they're doing. Of course they don't give a shit. They'll snatch your phone out of your hand, not understanding that that's violative of your constitutional right. So keep documenting it, because I have seen tons and tons and tons of lawsuits by all the ACLU type organizations, not just that one, but similar other civil liberty organizations are pursuing you know, lawsuits, civil lawsuits on behalf of, one guy was a, he's a, I believe a Afghanistan or Iraq war veteran that was just driving to work one day, and was like kind of going, hey, do you mind if I, and they drug him out and sprayed him and everything. So he is pursuing a case and has encouraged other people. Hey, if you have been abused by these monsters, come forward. And like, there's more of us that don't want a crazy police force on the streets snatching our neighbors than there are that are cheering him on. And for those family members that are cheering him on, I think it's simple. What's wrong with you? How far have you fallen that you think that's okay? You know, goes a long way. Nobody wants to get preached at, but certainly a question of why do you think that's okay to treat any person like that is my question. So thank you for sharing your story, VB.
I also want to go on record that ICE can suck my dick. And also, to your point of I don't recognize them as authority. Literally, like, there's really no way to know.
Thank you.
Because when you refuse to show your face, you're in plain clothes. Mm-hmm. You just have a weapon. Mm-hmm. You're in an unmarked car. How is that any different than getting kidnapped off the street by kidnappers?
That's my question. And I would want to press charges. I mean, truly, that's what Larry Krasner, the DA in Philly, was like. That's kidnapping. And if my citizens get kidnapped, I urge them to, you know, file charges.
Because absolutely.
Like, you're being unlawfully, especially if you've done nothing wrong. And also, I'm like, your authority as an ICE agent is this immigration situation, which, by the way, I got a lot of issues, the legalities of it. I think it's all incorrect and made up and false pretenses upon which they're arresting folks. So I got a lot of problems with it. But this is a real horror. And that's one thing about this show that I love, that we record it so like soon before we release it, and just talk about, you know, real life events that are currently happening. Because in 5 years, we can't forget that this happened either, because these people, and by these people, I mean the mass thugs that are on the street snatching up our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our friends, we can't let them forget that they did this. We've got to ostracize them. Don't fuck a former ICE agent. Don't fuck a current ICE agent. Don't fuck a former ICE agent. They should never get laid again. Why are we fucking these people? Sinister Hood will be right back.
Well, continuing on in Chicago ICE raids, this next one is from Anonymous in Chicago, and is called Not the Scary Halloween We Wanted. Hello, friends. I'm going to keep this story short and to the point. I work in Chicago and collaborate with the Chicago Public School District. I work with kids of all ages, but this year I work primarily with preschool and kindergarten. As many of you know, Trump has sent the National Guard to Chicago to track down, quote, illegals and, quote, thugs, causing havoc in the, quote, most dangerous city in the U.S. Meanwhile, this is the same city who came together over a rat-shaped hole in the ground. They've put fear into everyone. They've already been doing raids at the schools. There was one raid at a school next to mine. There was another raid that was targeting a grocery store and ended up tear-gassing the school across the street. This raid happened as all of the students and parents were waiting outside during dismissal. There has been so much happening every day and every minute. There is fantastic advocacy work being done. Protesters, whistleblowers, rapid response teams, advocacy organizations, public services, volunteer dog walkers, volunteer school pickup and drop off, and just so many amazing people in the face of such horror. I'm already scared to be targeted for not being white. I'm constantly concerned, but trying to manage it so I can be there for my students. But when they scare my kids, now I'm fucking enraged. ICE has already taken so much from my community, but now they're taking away Halloween. This Halloween is going to be different in the city this year. So many people are already afraid to go out. People are already afraid to answer the doors. I'm dreading how quiet and empty it will be. This has become a big concern, so much so that my school is doing a trick-or-treat event at the school to give these kids some of that Halloween experience. It won't be the same experience under fluorescent hallway lights or without the autumn chill nipping at your hands, but we are doing our best to preserve that childhood innocence. It's tough to explain to many of our students with disabilities why it may not be safe for them to go trick-or-treating, but their friends can. It's gotten to a point that even our governor, Pritzker, has put in a formal plea to ICE to stop for one night so kids can celebrate Halloween safely. I doubt this will happen, unfortunately. There has been a lot of local help, But if you're not in Illinois and still want to help, I recommend looking at icirr.org and making a donation. The Allies program allows recurring donations. I'd also recommend checking out your local immigrant and refugee nonprofit organizations at this time. They are likely fighting the same fight. If you can't donate, see if you can volunteer. Sharing resources, sharing verified reports of raids, and checking in with your community. I'm not sure how to wrap this up, except that please be extra careful this Halloween, even if you're not in Chicago. Trust nobody, but protect your neighbors, especially those who are marginalized. Even small things like offering to take a family's children trick-or-treating, or maybe sharing your candy with your neighbor or friend who has to stay inside this year. Halloween this year will feel scary, but not in the way we wanted it to. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Well, I agree with Governor Pritzker's call. For the very least, it's going to be Panda fucking Monium. Dude. And I saw them selling at Spirit Halloween. It was like, I don't know if it was called like something trooper or something. And it looks like an ICE agent
what?
Outfit.
I didn't see that.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this even on sale? And, you know, you get just a black leather thing with like a little silver sheriff badge from far off. Like, people don't know what it is. And I think if there are not real mask goons out there, then we could all calmly be like, that's a person in a costume and we should all collectively ignore him. But I do fear that people are going to take advantage of the dressing up and, you know, rob people in bars, take women, do whatever because of.
It's just, it's like a horror movie, literally. Mm-hmm. Like the last.
The Purge.
The Freaky Friday we had last week where the little girl thought the cop that had shown up for a domestic violence situation was literally in uniform. Well, now you've got all these people in uniform. And because ICE agents can, I guess, just wear whatever the hell they want and just have a firearm on them that, I mean, don't go with them anytime. But you don't have a choice. And now you're like, I really don't even know if this is an actual ICE agent or just some group of crazy people that want to fuck up some brown people on Halloween night.
It is scary, especially because, like I said, their vehicles, there was just a study, NPR just released a study, and it was helped by folks filming that was vehicles that were used in these ICE raids, their license plates were being switched. So sometimes it would be license plates from other states, cities, and then one city or one state on the front and a different one on the back. And they would meet up at these central lots. And I guess they're unscrewing license plates and swapping around. Very illegal. You can't do that. But to your point, it's like just random Chevy Tahoe rolls up with like New York plates and like and the Texas plate on the front and New York plate on the back. And it's probably not even a vehicle from either of those places. And some random guys who maybe didn't pass a background check, get up, get out and just slam your ass into the side of a car or the concrete.
Or worse. I don't think there's a lot of checks and balances or anybody overseeing this. There's not really any qualifications even to become one. I think if you're willing to do it, they are willing to let you They don't ask questions or give you too many things you're not allowed to do.
No, former January Sixer, come on down. I'm pretty sure it's probably a lot of them and Proud Boys and everything like that. So it's, you know, what do they say?
He had to pardon them so they could all become these.
They could all join. What they say, the reason why you don't ever see the January Sixers and the ICE agents in the same place is the same reason why you don't see Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus in the same place.
Yeah.
So the streets this Halloween, keep an eye out. We said, Anonymous said, take care of your friends and neighbors. And I think that's a great idea. Doing a group trick-or-treating with the parents that are at less at risk is maybe
a trunk-or-treats or something. I've seen a lot of cool trunk-or-treats lately.
People go all
out. Also, I saw a really good reminder that if you are putting out stuff for Halloween, to be mindful of how many people, including millions of children, are about to lose their SNAP benefits. So in addition, or maybe even in lieu of candy, like putting out like ramen or little things of mac and cheese or,
boxes.
Or like something that's maybe a little more hearty, but has a shelf life still, because a lot of people are about to be without food. what do you do then?
No, truly. And a lot of food banks are about to be without food. I believe some of the funding is frozen as well. So even the places where the food insecure friends and neighbors of ours that normally would go, those places are down to, you know, boxes of just pasta or whatever. So echoing what Anonymous said, in your own community, figuring out whether it's like the Human Rights Commission or whatever, somewhere near you that's taking care of folks, community gardens sometimes also do like food pantry offerings and stuff like that, or closed closet places, because it's also starting to get cold. So
yeah,
just figuring out ways to reuse stuff at your house, which is takes money out of the hands of bald billionaires and their Amazon website.
Right.
And, you know, helping your friends and neighbors.
Some of the schools are doing a, you know, of course, like canned food drive and stuff like that, or the counselor at Ellis School coordinates Thanksgiving things for families in need. And one of the things everyone's donating, which I think would be a good idea for anyone looking to try and contribute, is like a gift card to like Tom Thumb or McDonald's, anywhere, you know, where Aldi, it's food. Yeah. And any amount, just handing them out to people even, or putting them, or if, you know, your kids are at school, asking the counselor, even the front office, like, if y'all know who these can best serve, and they do, they should know who their most at-risk students are, you know, a way for people to get extra help if they need it without having the potential of being embarrassed or, you know, having their situation be put on blast. So just, you know, those quiet donations of like, hey, whoever this needs to go to, please, if you could get it to them. And there's little ways like that that we can all help.
And growing up,
if you're able.
I was going to say, from a former kid who received stuff like that and who received free and reduced lunch and whatnot, thank you. And I feel like we should also kind of destigmatize it too. Like, if you're a person that needs help in this season, you need help in this season. And you know what? It's not because you don't work hard. It's not because you haven't tried hard. It's not because you're not a good parent. It's not because you're not a good friend or sister or daughter or neighbor. It's because we're all getting our asses kicked by about seven people that just took all the money like bandits with big dollar signs on a canvas bag
I
over their back.
I have a plan. It involves a giant animatronic. For these seven billionaires.
We can lure them. We'll be like, look, we've got yachts for sale.
I haven't told you what the animatronic looks like, but I know how to get him here. Don't worry.
Okay. We're going to, we'll scheme and scheme together, but no, seriously.
They all like one thing.
They all like one thing.
Uh-huh.
I can
they all like several things, but I can think of one thing that they definitely all really like, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. So, but no, like we said, if you're in that camp, don't feel bad. And
no,
it's the time will come.
So many are in the camp right
now. Fucking many, and so many more are about to be in the camp. Yeah. If you're affected by any of the mass tech layoffs that are all happening right now,
just Amazon just laid off 14,000 people.
14,000 people, because they need to be able to buy more chips, because Amazon Web Services is a high margin profit portion of their company, and human beings cost more money. So they got to cut where the margins are thin and invest more for the shareholders where the margins are a little bit thicker. Like
Amazon, who's owned by one of the top five wealthiest people in the world.
Yes.
Had to lay off 14,000 people as if he alone couldn't have just supplied their income.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out to Billie Eilish, who just received an award at the Wall Street Journal Awards. And I believe Zuckerberg was in the room, if not other billionaires. And she pledged, or she donated $11 million to help with hunger causes and food insecurity. And she's like, hey, I just want to say, what's up to the people in the room that are like a lot richer than me who are billionaires? First of all, why? Second of all, give away all your money and do something good. Okay, thanks, bye. And like walked off stage and I was like, Billie Eilish is iconic.
So. She is. And so many, I've seen several, like Chapel Roan has established like an organization for trans rights and legal proceedings, and Sabrina Carpenter's donating a ton of money from her tour to a similar cause. So it really is like the good people who are famous and of course they're rich. They're richer than any of us are going to be. They're not billionaire rich, which could literally those seven assholes get in a room together. First of all, who's dropping it?
The deuce. Who's dropping the deuce?
The deuce from above.
I'll drop a deuce.
Takes everything.
An airplane out. Full of deuce. I'll just spray it all on top.
Oh,
of
yeah. Like the
AI video.
We've the AI video that he retweeted about himself. What a fucking moron. Well, all of them could solve everything. Literally, yeah. All of their money could solve all of the problems that the world has.
Yes.
And instead, these younger artists who are just have good hearts and see their friends' rights being stripped away or uh-huh. their own rights being stripped uh-huh. away. And they're like, well, I don't need all this money. Uh-huh. Who would ever be like, man, I have $11 million to give away. But if I did, uh-huh. that's exactly what I would be doing with it. Uh-huh. And good for her. And shame on all you fucking greedy bastards that do nothing but look up ways to make yourself younger and live forever so you can just roll around in your filthy wealth longer.
Truly like a bunch of Scrooge McDuck bitches. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, all that to say, fuck them. But at least we all have each other. There's more ants than our grasshoppers. That's all. Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. But for real, stay safe out there.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, this next one is from Kate. We're switching.
My
switching,
dog?
That's the one. We're switching gears here. Kate, I hope it's not your dog because it says just a haunted house or a portal to hell.
Well, you tell me. The squeals of the beast in the backyard.
Happened to your house.
Like we're halfway to hell.
I would not ever describe your house as hell, but I certainly have heard the sounds. It sounds like hell might be behind a gate yes. next to your house. hell on wheels, and her name is Petal. Well, all right.
Hell on hooves.
Hell on hooves. Well, thank you, Kate.
God, I got to get her a custom thing, like a bandana. I don't. A
biker jacket.
Yeah, she doesn't like clothes, but.
But maybe a big bandana.
Maybe. So a blanket.
Yeah.
Tie around her neck.
Like a cape.
Hell on hooves.
It's a cape. Oh, well, thank you, Kate, for sending this one in. Content warning, this story has mentions of suicide. Oh, Kate writes, hello, love you, love the pod. I am aware of how unhinged this story sounds. I've honestly questioned my own sanity, but I promise you that even the most depraved depths of my brain are not this creative. This truly happened, but I understand if you don't believe me. Buckle up, bitches. This will be a wild ride. It was the fall of my senior year of high school in a small New England town. This was the early 2000s, so weekend entertainment was limited to whatever DVDs had not been rented out at Blockbuster or Finding Some Trouble. On this particular night, my friends and I chose shenanigans. So we all met at my house, told my mom the plan, and laughed as she rolled her eyes and warned us to make good choices. Then we piled in someone's hoopty and headed for the area's most haunted graveyard. I had been to this graveyard before, multiple times. It was not technically legal to visit this place at night, but if you drove into it far enough and kept the lights off, then usually the passing cops wouldn't stop you. This was a very small, sleepy town, so the cops drove by often, as they had nothing else to do, and they knew it was a teenager hotspot. Luckily for us, it was quite foggy that night, so we were able to drive in and park without much worry. We split off, all going to visit our favorite spots within the grounds. I walked over to the western corner with one other person to see what new trinkets may have been left by other visitors on the headstone of a small child who was buried there hundreds of years ago. Two others of us headed to the southeastern section to see if they could catch a glimpse of the Blue Lady, the most famous ghost on the grounds. The last of our group was sneaking around, trying to spook the rest of us. We eventually regrouped near the car and began discussing our next moves for the night. As we were all standing still, we heard clear footsteps. We all froze, holding our breath to turn up the volume in our ears. The footsteps continued, slowly, around the perimeter of our little circle. Then, the whistling started. We weren't able to see more than a few several feet into the mist, but the whistling and footsteps sounded close enough that we should have been able to see the person creating them. We could not. This felt like our clue to leave. This felt like our cue to leave, so we piled back into the car and slowly inched our way out, disappointed that we didn't see another car to explain the source of the sounds. This particular cemetery is set way back on a small back road. To get there from my neighboring town, we had to pass by a dilapidated old two-story house. It truly looked like it came out of central casting for creepy haunted houses. Windows and doors are boarded up, overgrown vegetation, peeling paint, missing shingles. I am a spooky bitch. I just ran around at night for funsies. I don't scare easy. But this house scared the shit out of me. Every time I ever passed it, I could not bring myself to look directly at it. I had to concentrate hard to keep a panic attack at bay as we approached each time, and I was fine as soon as we were past it. No clue why, but from the very first time I ever traveled this road, I felt that way. This night, as we're driving toward home, one of the passengers yelled out, "Wait, pull over, let's go check out that house." The driver complied, but refused to get out. Everyone else refused to get out. Then, one guy got out and started walking over there alone. I am trying not to hyperventilate as I asked if anyone else was going to stop him from getting arrested for breaking and entering. They all said no. They were too scared of that house to save the dummy. Assholes. I crawled out of my perch in the middle of the back seat, making sure to put a knee in a lap on my way out, and ran across the windy dirt road toward the house, where the dummy disappeared around back. I followed Captain Dum-Dum around to the back of the property, climbing over dead branches and fighting cobwebs. He had found a weak point and wedged open a board that had been blocking a back door. I squeezed through and was instantly assaulted by the stench of death. I stood still for a moment, hand over my nose and mouth, allowing my eyes to adjust before venturing further inside. We had entered through what appeared to be a mudroom of sorts. Directly to the left was the remnants of a bathroom, and straight ahead led to the main part of the house. I walked carefully over broken boards and shards of glass and peered into the bathroom. The carcass of a raccoon was in the chipped bathtub, along with a broken window frame and other debris. No sign of human life, so I backed out, careful not to touch anything, and stepped toward the rest of the house. As I walked through the doorway into the main area, I was suddenly overcome with the strongest sense of dread I have ever experienced. The air felt literally thick and heavy, and I dropped into a crouching position. I sat as still as I could from my spot on the floor and looked around, calling for Captain Dum-Dum, who responded from somewhere in the depths of the darkness. The room was square and large. I had entered from the back right side of the house, windows to the street on the far wall to my left, and windows to the back of the property on the wall directly to my right. I was sat in the corner. Directly across from the doorway I entered was a doorway into another room. There were two doorways along the same walls down the other end of the room, also mirroring one another. Along the wall between my spot and the next doorway was a massive pile of broken furniture and various household items. Standing sentinel in front of the pile was an old wooden rocking horse. It was rocking slowly. Captain Dum-Dum emerged from the doorway across from me, stating that there were just more broken items in that room and that he was going to try to find a way upstairs. He picked each step carefully and slowly, as there were few floorboards left to choose from on which to travel to the other side of the room. The middle of the floor sported a huge hole. A matching hole was in the ceiling. I begged for us to leave, but he did not listen and disappeared again as I took notice of the ceiling. Once I was alone again in the space, a dark mass, which was somehow even darker and more black than the night around me, came down from the hole in the ceiling. It was like a mist or a cloud of smoke, though it moved with purpose. It came down into the room in a column, about halfway to the floor, then began to circle like a slow-motion tornado. It expanded further outward with each completed circle, slowly taking over the whole room. As this was happening, a deep, loud sound reverberated throughout the space, like too much bass feedback in an amp. Then came the voice, guttural, angry. It screamed, "Get out!" over and over. I clapped my hands over my ears, shut my eyes, and repeated, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, we're leaving," in a whisper, the loudest my voice could manage as my lungs fought through the thick air. I don't know how long this went on for. It could have been just moments. It could have been hours. As suddenly as it started, it was over. I could hear a car horn sounding outside, our friends signaling that it was time to go. The kid I followed inside was making his way back toward me, only about 8 feet away, though I hadn't noticed him approaching until then. "What's wrong with you?" he asked, all nonchalantly. "What do you mean? You didn't see or hear any of that?" I said.
"Any of what?"
he asked, sweeping his small flashlight around the room. The rocking chair was still going. "Never mind, let's just go," I said. I stood up, my legs stiff from crouching and being so tense. We returned to the car, checking that there were no police or other unexpected visitors before bolting from the shadows and into the open car doors. The others asked what happened. Captain Dum Dum stated something about how it was a bus and the staircase was broken so he couldn't go upstairs. The driver noticed my face in the rear view and said, "You saw something, didn't you?" I didn't want to talk about it, but I nodded my head and just told him to drive. Later, when we were safely back at my house, the driver shared the history of that house. He had recently linked up with the ghost hunting group for a visit to the cemetery we went to, and they told him the following. I have no reason to think he was lying, but I've never found any verification for these events. At one time, that house had belonged to a prominent family in town. It remained in the family for many generations, and at some point in time, an owner chose to end their own life by hanging themselves in the rafters of the top floor. That man had reportedly been very angry and aggressive in life, and rumors began shortly after that his angry spirit remained in the top floor of the house. The house was eventually abandoned and fell into disrepair. There were classic satanic panic era stories of people breaking into the home and performing rituals of some sort, both on the top floor and in the basement. A handful of years before my experience there, the owners of the property invited a ghost hunting group, the same group that took my friend on a hunt, to investigate. Allegedly, while on the top floor of the house, attempting to make contact with the angry spirit, the floor gave way under one of them. He fell through the top floor, through the floor of the main room, and landed in the basement. He succumbed to his injuries later in the hospital. My friend told me the story before I shared anything about what I observed or my experience in the house, but perhaps it explained everything. I included a picture I pulled from Google Maps, taken in recent months. Looks like they cut the grass, but haven't done anything else to the house.
This house is a portal to hell.
That's ramshackle as fuck. And the fact that you even got in it, I'm surprised. But you had a satanic tornado coming at you.
Dude. Satanic tornado. What's up, guys?
Satanic tornado.
Oh, man. They were great in 85.
For sure, dude.
They really hit their stride. You had a portal to hell and happened to hit it when it was a rainy season. And goddamn, what a, first of all, if everybody refuses to get out of the car, don't feel like you got to be the one to go run after this guy.
Yeah.
The driver,
yeah,
I feel like should have disclosed all of this information prior so you could all make an informed decision if you wanted to go in there.
Yeah. If it's like, hey, let's drive to this house and you pull up, unless you literally leapt out as the driver was like, before we get out, I got to, and you're like, fuck it, go, go. But if he gets there, the onus is on the information holder to be like, before anyone goes in, first of all, someone fell to literally their demise. Like, God bless that man who fucking passed away on what is supposed to be a fun time, right? You're on a paranormal investigation. We've been on a couple. That would be heart-wrenching to watch your comrade, like, fall through when it's, you know, ghost investigations are fun, right? That's horrific. But the fact that it happened as a result of the danger of the house, I think the driver had a duty to warn you. Not like legally speaking, but morally, fucking say something, man.
Well, the danger of the house.
Yes.
Ipso facto, the haunting of the house.
That too.
The haunting, alleged, led to the danger, allegedly, and then to all the other stuff. But, oh man, we'll have to share this picture for sure on socials, because if I was scouting and somebody was like, find the most scary house you can find, or like the worst atrocities, and I'm like, oh, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, worse, even worse. Think of that. And I'm like, I think we found our location.
For sure. And although you're going to have to just use a drone to film it because there's no floorboards anywhere. And the ones that are there are probably rotted through and you'll fly.
And the windows are boarded up. So, ooh, the things. Yeah, I mean, you had a dead raccoon in there, but the other things too.
Yeah, that's the kind of place you got to just put a camera in there and just monitor it from afar. You don't need to be going out there. That's
true. Now that you've got drones for situations like this, where like me, what's weird is me as a teen would have done something stupid. Like, yeah, let's go break into this house. Me now would be like, the amount of bugs that could be in there, or just like the floor's rotted, you know, it's just dangerous to go. Something's going to fall on you from the rafter.
100% I would be the one in the car being like, you guys, we're going to get in trouble. Also, I have to poop. Can you drive me somewhere else and come back and get them later?
And we're like, poop in here. There's a raccoon in the tub.
There's a bathroom.
You'll notice.
Yeah, just go to the bathroom. It doesn't flush, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm like, this is how I ended up getting bitten in the ass by a rabid raccoon in a haunted house, because we thought he was dead, but he was just passed out and he had rabies.
How'd Heather get rabies?
It's
a doozy.
Where's your rabies bite
Buckle
scar?
Buckle up, bitches. It's going to be a wild tale, because it is a doozy. So,
you want to see my raccoon bite? It's right by my Blues Brothers tattoo and my Abraham Lincoln tattoo. Oh, man. What an adventure, though. This is the kind of like Goosebumps TV show kind of adventure, Kate. So you're living the life. I'm glad you got out safe, though, because that is scary as fuck.
It is. Yes. And now you have an answer as to why you felt existential dread every time you passed by.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kate. Sinister Hood will be right back. This next one is from Melanie, and the subject line is Elmo haunted my daughter. Hi, Christy and Heather. I'm a big, longtime fan of the podcast. I have tons of personal ghost stories, but I haven't been able to get this out of my mind. My daughter is about to turn 3. In March of this year, we went to Pigeon Forge on vacation and stayed in a cabin. Now, we all know the Appalachian Mountains are spooky as shit. We heard a lot of strange noises and whistles outside at night, and our cabin just felt creepy sometimes. About a day into our vacation, my daughter, who loves Moana, started playing with, quote, Maui, and would pretend like Maui was knocking on the front door. She had never really done anything like this before, so we were excited she was using her imagination. We would play along and open the door to tell Maui to come in. But over the weekend, it got to the point where it was getting kind of weird. During our outings in town, she would say Maui was in the car with us. She even said it on our way home. Over the next few weeks at home, Maui apparently turned into someone else she loves, Elmo. However, Elmo was starting to scare her. She would be playing, then all of a sudden, her entire demeanor and energy would change, and she would get very quiet and noticeably uncomfortable. Now, my child is loud and a talker. She literally never stops talking and has not stopped since birth, so that's how I started realizing maybe something was wrong. So I would ask her, "What's up?" And she would say, "Elmo, scare me." After she told me that a few times, I started telling her to tell Elmo to go away. I made sure not to make a big deal about it or lead the witness when questioning, because we all know how toddlers can be when we, as parents, have big reactions to stuff. This continued for a few weeks until one night we were playing in her room when all of a sudden she stopped, dropped her toys, and turned around like something was behind her, then jumped into my lap. I asked her what was wrong, and she said very quietly, "Elmo," while staring at where she was just sitting. I couldn't really hear her and wanted to confirm what she said, so I asked her again, "What?" And again, she whispered, "Elmo." There was nothing there, but she was legitimately terrified. This is when I said, "Oh, hell no, I ain't playing these games, Elmo." So I grabbed my sage, some holy water, and started trying to purify our house. After that, when we put her to bed, she became hysterical and fell out of her crib, which is something she never tried before. Honestly, I'm not convinced she did it herself. I low-key think I pissed whatever it was off and it took it out on her. After that, though, she's only seen Elmo outside. Once, she refused to go any further down the stairs when the window blinds were open because Elmo scared her. Another time, I was getting her out of the car when she looked down our alleyway and yelled, "Go away, Elmo!" She even said it in the daycare parking lot, which is really unnerving. I always remind her to tell him to go away and that he can't scare her. I've also made numerous threats to whatever this thing is, because you can't scare my child, possibly physically hurt her, and get away with it. My husband and I are deep in the paranormal community, so we know how to debunk, ask questions, and rationalize. We also know that leaves us open to strange occurrences, and with this, we're convinced something followed us home by trying to be appealing to our toddler. So, what do you think? Thanks for reading, and stay creepy.
Not Elmo.
Dude, they took it. It's a call. What you need to do is you need to tell Disney and whoever owns the intellectual property of Sesame Street and be like, you got to go after this ghost that's using your Elmo against your will. Because this is besmirching Elmo.
I don't know. It seems like Beetlejuice, they could go back and forth and we could figure out stuff like that. I think we could do it.
You got to draw a door and knock, knock and go through and serve them with papers on the other side and be like, hello, ghost that keeps dressing up like Elmo. That is creepy. Cause it's like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I have an imaginary friend and Maui is with us. And Maui, when we were kids, like my sister had a baby that followed her everywhere and that was her imaginary friend. And mine was Ferris Bueller, Sloan and Cameron from Ferris Bueller. And I would be like, you have to save a seat for Ferris Bueller. Like Ferris has to sit down. And it was, they didn't never scare me though. Now I'm worried that it was three ghosts that were following me around like fucking Heart and Soul with Robert Downey Jr.
Did you just imagine them in your head or were you seeing them?
I
guess you're seeing Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. I mean, like if you asked me, like if you were in a, augmented reality glasses of what my world looked like, it would be like regular life. And then, I could like physically see like Ferris Bueller and Sloan and Cameron, Matthew like Broderick? In my house. Yeah, it was Matthew Broderick in his, in the vest and everything.
So you have a vivid imagination and could picture what it would be like if they were in the room with you.
Yes. And like, I would envision that they were in the room with me too. There, I also was where I had a tiger as a pet, like an invisible tiger as a pet for a while, but those specifically were the three but they never scared me. They just played with me or like hung out with me.
Well, yeah, because they were in your head. You're not going to make them make you scared, I hope.
No, I hope not.
And those characters in the movie weren't scary. Cool.
Yeah, they were neat. They just wanted to hang out.
You're going out on a day adventure, it sounds like, a Cubs game and all sorts of shit.
You need to ask what a bunch of high schoolers are doing hanging out with a kindergartner. But other than that, I think it was probably fine.
I think you got to ask the kindergartner, why are you choosing to hang out with a bunch of high schoolers?
I was cool, baby. But they never came at me. They never scared me, never pushed me out of a crib or anything. It sounds like this is not Elmo, I don't think.
I would say these are two different things.
Yeah, this is not Elmo. I don't think this is an imaginary Elmo friend.
One's an imaginary friend. One is potentially the a ghost that either told your daughter, I'm Elmo, or she thinks it looks like Elmo. Maybe we got big old blue furry ghosts.
Or like a little red tiny ghost all furry being like, ah!
Oh yeah, Elmo's red. I keep thinking of Grover.
Oh yeah, Elmo's a little bit smaller and Elmo's got that little like, I'm Elmo. It has even like the like higher pitch voice.
Oh fuck, Elmo is red.
Yeah.
So is fire.
Yeah, and then he's like, Elmo devil. Says, get the matches and burn your house down.
That's what I'm saying. You got a portal to hell in your own house and you're just seeing fire. It's like that meme where Elmo's on fire. Save me.
You got to tell Elmo, get his ass back to Sesame Street, the fuck out of my house and get back to Sesame Street.
Show
man.
Your daughter that meme and be like, what is this?
Yeah. She's like, that's what Elmo said we're going to do for fun.
Oh, no.
No, I say bring Maui back. He didn't sound as scary as this Elmo.
Yeah.
Fool.
And he's a shapeshifter and can do a bunch of cool stuff. I mean,
wait, he shapeshifted into Elmo. It's Maui the whole time.
That's what. So it's still Maui.
It's still
he's
Maui.
He's shapeshifted into Elmo. Well, damn, it's a demon that has taken on the form of Maui.
Yeah.
Who has now shapeshifted into Elmo.
Yeah,
oh,
I say.
Damn. But demons can shapeshift too.
That's the problem. And if you're in the paranormal community, maybe ask somebody that, I don't know, in that group that does consent stuff, whether they're like clairvoyant, clairaudient, whatever. And like, maybe that could give you a hint on what else to do to get Elmo. Is now he's just taking up residence at the curtilage of your facility. So just be like, buddy, you got to get off the porch. You got to get out of the
here.
Bushes.
Yeah. I don't get like seeing it outside. I mean, it's good. It's outside, but still it needs to leave.
The implication is that it once was inside and it once back in. And I don't like that either. And so, you know, we need a spiritual, much like we need a spiritual cease and desist. We need a spiritual stay away order.
Yes.
And tell Elmo to stay within, you know, to stay at least 1,000 feet from your kid. I'm like, how far can you see? Yeah, a protective order.
An EPO.
Exactly. Your Honor, I believe your jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah, sure. I approve it. dang, I don't know where my gavel is or all my things got moved
around because
we changed some stuff in here. So,
well, I say
ding,
it's
ding.
Legit.
That's my law and order gavel for you.
Well, you heard it here, Melanie. The next time Elmo comes back, say, it's my understanding Judge Christie's told you to stay at least 1,000 feet from our house.
Yeah.
You're in violation.
Word gets around down there.
Violation. To Elmo, formerly known as Maui, formerly known as question mark, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Melanie, for sharing that with us. And let us know if Elmo fucks off after this.
Please do.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Lily, and the subject line is The Legend of Werewolf Springs. Hello. Last year, you ladies read my story about the White Bluff Screamer on an episode of Freaky Friday, and I was so happy. To have others learn about my local legends is just the coolest. Today, I have another local legend that's just as spooky and, honestly, scared me more when I was younger than the Screamer. Today, I'll tell you about the legend of Werewolf Springs. Circuses were a huge part of the entertainment industry in the 1800s. Late one night, after a show in Nashville, a circus company was making their way to Memphis on a train. An accident occurred, and the train ended up derailing and crashed the railroad cars. While checking to see if everyone was okay and accounted for, there seemed to be two missing performers. The two known as the Wolfmen of Borneo were gone. The circus had to keep going and ended up boarding a new train a few days later without the Wolfmen of Borneo. A few years later, a few men were traveling and ended up stopping at a spring for a drink of water and to rest. After resuming their journey, they felt like they were being followed. It felt as if someone, or something, was chasing them through the woods. They began moving faster and faster until they were full on outrunning something and ditched their wagon. They got split up, and one of the men ended up being killed by what was described as a Sasquatch-like monster. The other man ran all the way into town, screaming that his friend was killed by a werewolf. Men in town were quick to action and grabbed their guns to go hunt down this supposed monster. Grabbing a goat as bait, they went to the spring and set up to lure the monster out. After the sun went down, the monster emerged and began to eat the goat at the spring. The men attacked and chaos began. However, they were too slow. As they lit their lanterns, there was no goat or werewolf. But two more men had been killed in the attack. Determined to have their revenge, the town hired a big game hunter to stay at a cabin near the spring and kill the monster. The hunter went after the werewolf for days, but finally, on the third day, he finally drew him out. Even with his aiming proving true, the monster was not fazed and kept attacking. The sun was almost on the horizon, causing the monster to run before finishing his attack. For years, locals would speak of this monster. And once the state park was later built on the land that the attacks happened, the spring was named Werewolf Springs. Personally, I'm convinced of the story as I have stayed overnight at the Werewolf Springs shelter and got some spooky feelings there. I remember hearing coyotes in the woods growling. I remember hearing coyotes in the woods growing up, and I was convinced the Wolfman was going to come attack me. So, is it a local legend, or do we really have our own Sasquatch-like monster running around? Lily. Attached is a photo of my dog because I couldn't just not send her.
Of how? No, baby. How could you not look at this baby with her little Snoopy in a pumpkin costume?
Sweet little Halloween treat.
Oh, she looks beautiful and perfect.
Well, you got to get the werewolf app so you can hunt the werewolves.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. I was thinking, how scary were 1800 circuses.
Dude, how scary was anything in the 1800s? I'm like, everything's just sharp edges and dysentery.
And like, you know, I don't like any of the, I mean, antiquated term and inappropriate of the freak shows that they would travel with. And so, yeah, just very exploitive and people would pay to come see. But it's stories like that where you're like, well, and then some of those people got left behind, and then it turns into this legend. But then you're like, but did they really? Because there are conditions where people grow an exorbitant amount of hair, and you get, you know, caught up in the circus life because that's how you're earning some money, and then you just get left behind, and then... I mean, you got to do something, so you just start killing people, I guess.
Or yeah, or you're like, hey, man, y'all are the ones that put the goat out there. I thought it was good. I like a little cabrito. Like, come on now. This was cool. What the fuck? Like, now everyone's shooting at me. Hang on a minute. I thought we were having a barbecue. But no, it's you're right. I think sometimes these legends are born from a person who just looks different, and it's the 1800s and they don't have like real doctors or books or anything around. So they're just like, oh, it's a goddamn werewolf. And you're like, it's a guy that would be fine with just some razors and understanding. But everyone's quick to point, but certainly the circuses did not help with that.
No,
but,
ventriloquist dummies. I'm just thinking about the 1800s and all the stuff in circuses.
Those old big ass wheelchair, the wheelchairs with one big ass wheel and then the two little wheels in the front. Like, why are those always so creepy?
Like
baby carriages with like
all
ass.
The old timey
yeah
stuff people would use, phonographs, just like
the fucking the Wilson Castle in the attic, the coffin that was in front of us, that was a wicker coffin, and they were like,
yeah,
that's a transport coffin, it's like an old transport coffin, so hundreds of bodies were transported in this coffin, and I'm like, it's wicker, and it was like, you know what, Stuff needs to run out.
It can, though, when things get stuck in those little ridges, it can be hard to get that out. So
they're like,
you gotta hose it down.
You got to get the power washer for that. And they're like, oh, yeah. Fuck, it's 1908. We don't have a power washer. Think about what that means.
The obstacle's the journey.
Oh, man. Well,
that's how you invent the power washer.
Exactly.
Well, I feel like, Lily, you've got quite between the Legend of Werewolf Springs mm-hmm. and the White Bluff Screamer. You've just got a whole, you just had a whole trauma of growing up.
Yeah, it's like a menagerie of cryptids of like, yeah, that street's the Screamer Street, and that's the Werewolf Street, that's yep. Vampire Alley, that's the, it's like, we're going to name the springs and the campground adjacent to it Werewolf Springs. So yeah. Then when people ask, why is it called that, we'll say, men were ripped to shreds here by a werewolf. So welcome. It happened at night right by these very springs.
Were they caught?
They were not. The werewolf's still out there. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Please just make sure you turn off the light when you're done in the restroom.
Cover meanwhile up in the woods. Golly.
The werewolf's like, oh, bitch, I got some more, baby. Oh, man, what a time.
Well, thank you so much to everybody for sending in your Freaky Fridays on this freakiest of Fridays, Halloween. I don't know if it's happened before that we've had a Freaky Friday land on Halloween. But
we did it.
It finally happened. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, if you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online, maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see, we'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email, you get immediate access, and then you also get immediate access to a whole backlog of content that is just for free members. Now, I will say this Sunday, we are not having Sunday Scaries because we will be on our own Sunday Scaries in the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah.
We'll be in Florida. The scariest of Sundays will be in Florida.
Florida.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm excited.
Oh, man.
One hell of a drug. But we'll see you in a following Sunday Scary. And there are 31, 32 previous Sunday Scaries you can go and binge watch if you miss us very much and want to see some fun vids.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That's where you join for a week, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. And when you stick around for an annual membership, you get 1 month free, and you also get all kinds of stuff.
You can get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. Submit your stories for Freaky Friday and your videos for Sunday Scaries. Plus, you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists. So if you got somebody that's like, I only want to listen to them talk about cryptids, we got you.
Boom.
And what a lineup there is.
Frogman,
some of
baby.
My faves are our cryptid episodes.
Oh, dude, for
what
sure.
What a fun Halloween like playlist to listen to.
Absolutely. Like, you just like, I'm spending Halloween with Yowie and the Frogman and the Mothman. Leave me alone.
they're the funnier ones. They're lighthearted.
They're always silly.
Man. But also, yeah, somebody the other day on our Patreon Facebook group was like, what are some faves? I'm just like baking around the house. One person said clowns is one that always get, and that's
Killer
episode 53. That one is
ridiculous.
A very funny one. Man, that was like back in the day, but that one was super funny.
That was pre-Paris.
Oh, that was at your old house too.
Yeah, I think so.
Jersey Devil was a great one. Extreme Haunts. Nothing scarier than that.
That is
asshole Russ McCamey, I'll tell you that.
That is definitely, if you're looking for a Halloween fright, I think Russ McCamey is just, it's up there with like the Candyman and fucking It and Leprechaun for me. Oh,
but
man.
So many of the ones people listed, I was like, dang, they would like quote certain lines or jokes. I'm like, I totally forgot about that, but that was a funny one.
That's why we love the community, too, because y'all remind us of what the fun we have. Well, follow us over on Instagram and threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congrats on whatever accomplishment, we would love to create a customized video that could be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping or you're looking for a last minute gift. Right now, if you're listening on October 31st, you have until 11:59 p.m. The cameo spooky season deal is ending tonight at 11:59. But even if the deal's not going on, we can still do a cameo for you at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and threads at Christy M. Wallace, and I am on TikTok at Christy or GTFO.
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.